Good morning. I remember thinking when our daughters were small, how tough and how busy life was. And then about 15 years ago, my father passed away. And then a couple years ago, my mother passed. And last fall, my brother passed. And I thought in that moment, to everything, there is a season. I have had a very difficult decade. Not necessarily because of the loss, but because of the demands on my life. When I thought when the kids were small, that was busy and that was tough, it held nothing. So let me tell you something. It gets harder as we go. Do you agree? Sometimes the things that we face get harder as we go. We were in the thick of raising our teenage daughters who have now turned into delightful women. My work was extremely demanding, both as the chairman of the Regina Public School Board and working in the nonprofit sector. And it was found out that our then CEO drove the whole thing into the ground, and I was given the task of rebuilding it and reestablishing a very battered reputation. My mother had dementia and needed much of my attention. My eldest brother had significant heart problems and he flatlined 9 times in the 5 years preceding his death. My youngest brother, who Dean and I have been the primary caregivers and guardians to for the past 20 years, has Down syndrome. And before you say, oh, he's so cute and loving, he's got significant behavioral problems that demand a lot of my attention. And they were compounded by the loss that he walked through along with me. It was a decade where I felt that circumstance was sidelining me from what I felt the call of God was on my life. But was it? I tended to move from one fire to another while always feeling that I was neglecting that which was most important. But was I? Have you ever felt that way? That the circumstances of life begin to collide and compete. I think that's what's meant in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Are you going through a season that is taxing you to the limit? I want to tell you, you're going to get through what you're going through. God is for us. He is not against us. And if He is for us, who can be against us? We can be hard pressed, but not crushed. We can be perplexed, and you can walk through a whole season of like, what is going on? I am so perplexed by life. God, where are you? But we will not be in despair. We can be persecuted. Lies can come against you. Judgment can come against you. Rumors can come against you. But you are not abandoned. The safest place we can be is, like Anatoly just said, in that presence of the Most High God, the one who created me, the one who positioned me, the one who goes before me, the one who hedges me around. You see, even though I felt that everything was pushing in on me, And there were times that I wanted to throw in the surrender towel and surrender to the lying voices that said, this is your lot in life. Just suck it up. You know what? This is the best it's going to get. But I knew that inside me, I wanted to sing like Horatio Spafford when he wrote, it is well with my soul. He wrote that song and it has resonated through generations since the mid-1800s when storms like the sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Whatever my lot. The hymn rings out through the generations because he wrote it from a place of great angst. The loss of a business to a fire, the death of his family. He was undoubtedly hard pressed on every side, yet he sat down and he penned an anthem that we allow our souls to sing and to declare that there is a wellness that God wants to restore our soul. He says, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for he's with me. He restores our soul. How do we walk in the wellness to our souls? Can we live the call of God on our lives when we're feeling hard pressed? Absolutely. We cannot allow the injustices of life. And many of us have had injustice come against us. We didn't deserve some of the things we're walking through. It's not like you made your bed, now lay in it. We get sideswiped sometimes by injustice. But Proverbs 13:23 says, and I think it's a warning that needs to ring out. It says, much potential lies in the fallow ground of the poor, but injustice sweeps it away. Oh, the call of God on our lives is there. It's being followed. It's being turned up. It's being turned up. And we cannot allow injustice to sweep away what God is calling us into and through. I remember the night my mom died. I was lying in a bed that was tucked up right beside hers. We were butted up against each other. It was during COVID, and I was the only one allowed to be physically with her. Her breathing was shallow, and her eyes were glazed, and I knew the end was very near. And I lied there holding her hand, and I fell asleep holding her hand. And as I slept, I dreamt that I was asked to run a 100-meter dash. Now, it wasn't as a little child. I was asked as a woman that's closer to 60 than 50 to represent the team and run 100 meters. And I'm like, I can't run. Like, I am so out of shape. I haven't run in 40 years. And the team was like, no, Catherine, this is your time. You got to get in there. You got to run. We chose you to run. And so I get down into the starting blocks. And this dream, even as I'm saying it now, I can see it. I'm down there. And I'm looking to the end line. And I hear the starting gun go. And I take off. And I am not like on, like running like, ooh. I am like, really? I thought I was going to pass out, and I just kept thinking, get to the finish line, just get to the finish line, get to the finish line. And as I got to the finish line, I broke the barrier, and I won. I won the race in this outdated, out of fitness body. And then I saw my dad. He came running across the field, and he was cheering. And he said, I knew you would do it. I knew you would do it. I knew you could win. I absolutely knew it. And then I woke up, and my mother breathed her last breath. You see, I sat in that place where those dreams are so real, but it ministered something to my soul. It ministered something to my soul, to my very core. Today I want to talk to you about my life message, which really is about the capacity, the God-infused capacity, which is in each one of us. And even if we feel like we're being put in situations like having to run 100 yards and you're not conditioned, guess what? God has infused a capacity in each one of us that can sustain us and cause us to continue on living the call of God on our lives. That was a one-off dream that had significance. But how many of you have reoccurring dreams that you've dreamt more than once in your life? Okay. Some of them. I asked Dean and he said he dreams he's going into a final exam and he hasn't studied. I've had that one. Even now I have that one sometimes. I love to interpret dreams. In fact, I fancy myself a bit of a Daniel or a Joseph, but how many of you ever dreamt about winning the lottery? I see hands all over this room. Even if you don't buy lottery tickets, have you ever dreamed or just played it through in your mind what you would do if you won the lottery? Who would you bless? What would you buy? What would you save? How much would you give? The reoccurring dream I have is, and I have this at least once a year, I have a dream that I live in a house, and I've lived there for a long time. And then all of a sudden one day, I discover there's another whole section to the house I've never been in. It's this huge room, and sometimes it's like a whole wing of a house. And I'm like, how did I never look behind that door before? Like, we've been living in this section, and there's a whole other house over there. Now, one could think it's my desire for a bigger house, but it's not. Because I'm at the stage of life where, honestly, I like tiny living. You see, the reoccurring dream I have where I suddenly discover there's a whole other wing to my house or extra space or extra bedrooms, a large family room, has everything to do, I believe, with the capacity within me. There is a capacity not only in me, but in each one of us for more. Poet Marianne Williamson wrote something that has been quoted in movies like Aquila and the Bee. It's been inaccurately attributed because of the profoundness of it to Nelson Mandela's inaugural speech. Inaccurately attributed. She wrote, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, to be gorgeous, or to be fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people don't feel insecure around you. You are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." There's a lot to unpack in that. It reminds me of Matthew 5:14-16, where it says, "You are the light of the world. You are. You are. Every single one of us, not just Anatoly, not just Pastor Joel, not the person beside you, but I want the truth of that statement to just be massaged into your soul this morning. You, You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people take a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Light. You are the light of the world. You give light to every one of your employees. You give light to everyone in your workplace. You give light to everyone in the senior citizen's home. You give light to the grocery clerk that is standing in front of you. It's not just for some of us. We need to take our light out from under the bowl and put it on the stand and stop hiding. There is more in every single one of us than we can even imagine. Matthew 5 goes on to say, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. Even when life is tough, it's about every single day determining, making a decision every single day to shine light in whatever is before us or whoever is before us. We are the light of the world, and if we go dim, the world goes dim. If we go dim, people, the world goes dim. We need to be a people that declare, it is no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? We know these things. And yet there's something that still can hold us back. I know I'm not the only one with rooms in their house that still haven't been explored. I want to take you back for a moment to the thought about winning the lottery. Did any of you rummage through your house on June 28th of this year looking for a lottery ticket? No? Every newscast was broadcasting to every Canadian that there was a winning lottery ticket out there worth $70 million that hadn't been claimed. And they had 24 hours to claim it. I didn't buy a lottery ticket, but I still looked. I thought, well, maybe it just dropped into my house. You see, I'm not inclined to buy lottery tickets, but when it gets up to that 70 million mark, sometimes I do. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, how does Joel let her preach? She's a lottery ticket buyer, a gambler of sorts. Don't worry, it'd be a big tithe. Anyway, that lottery ticket, I heard, I researched, it was bought in Ontario. I hadn't been in Ontario, but yet I looked. You see, on June 29th then, the news media outlets announced $70 million Lotto Max ticket not validated and expired. Doesn't that just make your stomach flip? Can you imagine finding out you had $70 million and it expired? That would be my luck. It was yours, but you didn't cash it in. People, I think sometimes we live that way. Think about it in a spiritual context. We are created for purpose. Every single day that we live, we are alive for a purpose. We are multi-millionaires. We have won the lottery of life. No matter what's going on at this moment, you are a lottery winner. Ecclesiastes 9:4 is anyone who is among the living has hope. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. Yet too often we choose to live like paupers. We live in accordance of our lack rather than our abundance. In our minds, too often we magnify our shortcomings or what we don't have. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We got to rejoice and be glad in it. His mercies are new, it says, every single day. I watched an Instagram reel recently, and it gave me a renewed perspective. I don't even know who to give credit to for this reel. But in the reel, a man was interviewing a couple, and he asked a simple question that I will pose to you today. If I walked up to any one of you today, think about it. Catherine walks up to you and hands you $1 million. How would you feel? No strings attached. I give you $1 million. How would you feel? It's not the outcome of my lottery winnings. I'm just giving you $1 million. The couple being interviewed replied, I'd be extremely grateful. I would be pumped. I would be excited. I'd be on top of the world. I'd be walking on cloud nine. And then the interviewer said, could anything make your day go bad? And they're like, well, I don't think so. I got $1 million. I think I'd be pretty excited in that moment. I don't think anything could really knock me off the excitement I would feel. They said, I feel like I'd have a new lease on life if you gave me $1 million. How about you? How would you feel? The interviewer then said, let's change it up. What if I gave you $1 million? Now, let's change it. I'll give you $10 million. But with one caveat, you can't wake up tomorrow. It's done. It's over. Would you take it? Changes our answer, doesn't it? Remember the $1 million, no strings attached. It gave me a new lease on life. $10 million, but I can't wake up tomorrow. It puts our chaos into perspective. We wouldn't trade our ability to wake up and experience a new day for $10 million. Then why aren't we waking up every single day with that perspective? We get ensnared and engulfed in our circumstance rather than living with passion and purpose. We wake up too often limiting our capacity. We wake up feeling bummed out with the burdens of yesterday still on our shoulders. That this sucks, that sucks. Life's not fair. I'm too broke. I'm too fat. I'm too out of shape. I can't make money for this reason or that. The truth is, we woke up. It's going to be a good day. The question is, how good can it get? And if today isn't good, guess what? Tomorrow we get another try. And the next day we get another try. God is so gracious. If we let ourselves be transformed every single day, something begins to happen. And we become a light on a hill that can't be hidden. And we give light to all who are in our home. Or as Marianne Williamson penned, as we are liberated, our presence through the light of Christ automatically liberates others. Come on, friends, this is living with a purpose. This is living out our call. This is living a light of significance. And it is not somewhere out there. It is right now. It is in the midst of our trials. It is in the midst of our circumstance. There is far more in us that we can even imagine. I am reminded of a day that really drove this point home. It was at the annual cross-country meet. The City Schools of Regina hold a cross-country meet every fall at Douglas Park. Has anyone ever been to the cross-country meet? It's huge. There are thousands of students in every age category. They line up on one side. They take off. They run out across a field for maybe a kilometer or so, two, and then they come in on the far side of Douglas Park track, and they come around the track to the finish line. I love that day. My girls say they were traumatized by it, but I always position myself at the final 100-meter mark, because that's when the kids are coming around, and they are spent. They don't have any more gas in their tank. And I'm the crazy one. I'm like, come on, get going, you can do it, you can do it. And I'm cheering on kids that don't know me, and they're like, run away from the crazy lady. And I get them going. I love it. But on this one particular day, I cheer extra loud sometimes when the kids I know go by, but on this one particular day, Larry and Susan Thomason's daughter was running. And I saw her take off from the starting line. Then she vanished out behind where all the kids go. And then they come in on that corner. And I don't know if you know Larry and Susan Thomason's son, Matt. But he's 6'5", 6'7". He's a giant compared to this 5-foot woman. He's a giant. Anyway, I see Matt take off, and he runs across the track when he sees his sister entering onto the track. And he begins to just run in stride with her, just running. And as they get to the 100-meter mark, I can hear him. He's saying, come on, keep going. You can do it. Run with me. Run with me. You're not stopping. You got more in you. Keep going. And I get all weepy. I'm like, oh, my goodness. This brother loves his sister. And he takes her to the finish line, stride on stride. People, it was a powerful illustration that's forever etched in my mind, because it reminds me of the capacity that's in every single one of us. The Lord of hosts, the creator of the universe, is keeping stride with you, step by step. He's, yes, you can do it. Keep on going. You aren't tired. You got more. Let's go. The creator of the universe. In fact, it says there's a whole cloud of witnesses. He's infusing us with new energy, new confidence. We're living in a place that has even more room, more capacity. There is more in each one of us to be discovered, unpacked, and unleashed. But I know some of you are going through some incredibly tough days right now. But know this, God wins. God wins. Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season. What you're going through now is not what you will be going through in 1 month or 1 year or 10 years. We change. You see, we need to live like we are winning. We're winning in every season, no matter our circumstance. We are not being defeated. We have more capacity than we can even imagine. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to do immeasurably more. I can ask for a lot of things. He can do immeasurably more than I can ask. I can imagine a lot of things. He's able to do immeasurably more than I can imagine according to his power that's at work. This is not a think your way to wellness message. This is a really get to know the one who created you message. When we tap into his source, it becomes David and Goliath stuff. Nothing can stand against us. We sing that song, it may feel like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I watched a broadcast of a protest, a rally recently. It was in support of refugees. And people were walking around the streets of some major city carrying placards. Support refugees, help our refugees, refugees welcome. And in the midst of this rally, there was a student doing a sociological study. This man would walk up to people who were carrying the placards and he'd say, "You're really passionate about this. Would you sign my petition? Would you sign your name here? I'm just looking for people to sign up saying they'd be willing to adopt or to house a refugee." Every single person he approached said, I would, but I just don't got room. I don't got room. You see, I'm not standing in a place of judgment because that experiment of sorts challenged me greatly. I think about the things I believe in. I think about the things I care about, that I'm passionate about, the causes that get me riled up. Would I inconvenience myself? Surely, I'd gladly write a check. But would I inconvenience myself? Like Zacchaeus up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. I think if it's time for some of us to get out of the tree and make room in our house, we have more capacity. But back to the thought, would you, how willing are you to be inconvenienced to share the greatest news ever told? I don't want to walk around with $70 million and live like a pauper. I want to live big. I want to live expansively. 2 Corinthians 6:13, Paul lays down a challenge. I like the way it's laid out in the Message Bible. It says, your lives aren't small. Personalize that. Catherine, your life's not small. But you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. The creator of the universe cares about you. He intimately cares about you. He longs for you to be in a relationship with him. We know sin separates us, but when we humble ourselves and admit that we can't do it on our own and that we need a savior, all of a sudden he comes in like a flood. Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. People, the greatest news ever. Today is a day that can forever change you. If you've never considered this before, I know the Holy Spirit is prompting you right now. Your stomach might be flipping. That's God. He's knocking. He's calling your name, not the name of the person beside you. And he's asking you, invite me in. Maybe you had supper with him before. Invite me in. I want to come back in. I want to be fresh. I want to expand. I want to see, show you new rooms. You have greater capacity. I'm reminded of the portion of scripture in Matthew 22. In fact, it was a song that I learned in Sunday school. And if you learned it too, please sing with me. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and good fortunes that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me the truth, I cannot come. Now, did no one else sing with me? Oh, St. James United Church in Wolseley, Saskatchewan. You see, In this parable of Matthew 22, shared by Jesus, he invites people to the banquet. And person after person make excuse why they cannot come. They got married, they bought a field, they have business to attend to. And my mind immediately went to this parable when I watched the reel of the social experiment, to see how many people were willing to step beyond their circumstance and put action to their placard. I stand wondering what I would have done. How would I have responded? How do I respond to Christ's invitation, to his assurance that there is a capacity within me? There is more to discover. There is more room. Too often, we're willing to hold the flag or hold the placard or even preach a sermon. But deep down, we want somebody else to do something about it. We're glad when someone else steps up to meet the challenge. We think we don't have room, but perhaps it's because we've been conditioned to think that way. Scripture warns us in Colossians 2:8 that our traditions, our comfort zone, can actually impede us. Our traditions can stop us from living big and living expansively. It says, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. And you do many things like that. I think in the case of people rallying in support of refugees and the unwillingness to match action to their cause, James says, don't be just hearers, be doers. I think our North American standard of living is a barrier. At least I know it's a challenge for me. We are preconditioned to think everyone needs their own bedroom, and we have no room in our inn. You see, Jesus's point in that parable about the banquet was that even people, hear me, even people who don't feel qualified get invitations to be with him. They just have to agree to come. Those people, by the way, include every single one of us. Every single one of us has been invited to the banquet. He stands at the door and he knocks. And all we have to do is open the door and say, come on in. Come on in, I want to get to know you. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, but a time and a chance happen to us all. This morning, let's stand together. As we stand, let's bow our heads. I want us to consider where we have stepped back. Whether that be from fullness of relationship with the one who created us, or whether we have stepped back because our circumstances are crowding us out. And let's be bold and decide today to leave here changed, ready to engage in life, ready to engage in relationship, fresh and new determination. If you heard the word this morning and you felt like you heard his knock, open the door of your heart. Open the door of your heart. Just in your own words, Lord, I invite you in. I invite you in. I want to be in relationship in a way that I don't let the chaos of life crowd you out. It might be the first time you've ever said, I'm opening up. The Word of God says that we just need to believe in our hearts. Simply believe in your heart. Christ died for your sins. He made a way for you to truly know him. A way that pushes back everything that's trying to, the noise that's trying to drown out the truth of who you are and the capacity that you have. Simply believe. If this is the first time you think that you're truly opening yourself up to a relationship, or perhaps you're choosing to do it fresh and anew today, no one else is looking around. Their heads are all bowed. Just put your hand up. Just let me know. Thank you, Lord. You're doing something new in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, you saw these people who are saying, yeah, Lord, come again. Come into my life. Come afresh. I'm choosing today to open up my heart. Oh, Lord, infuse them with your Holy Spirit in a new way. Infuse them with your Holy Spirit in a new way. Let all things become new. Father God, I thank you that you are doing a great work, a mighty work, that you have called us together as this group of people for your purpose. Lord, I pray that the word that came through forth this morning would not return void, but it would accomplish the purposes for which it is sent. People, if you have chosen to believe today, there is great news. I feel like dancing. But there's a second part. Just tell someone. Tell someone, hey, guess what? She asked me to put up my hand. I put up my hand. And it says, if you confess me before man, I'm going to confess you before my Father in heaven. God's doing something great. God's doing something new. And guess what? We win. We win. Amen. On this day, I'm delighted to dismiss you, but also to encourage you that all summer we've had time off. We didn't have to stack chairs, but they're painting the floor, so we've got to stack chairs today. So would each one of you just loosen up some chairs, stack a few chairs around you, go in peace, go in love, and know that you are winning. Amen.
Hey everyone, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We hope you enjoyed it and found something that spoke to you or blessed you in some way. That really is the heart of Harvest City Church, that you'd take what you've heard, learned, or experienced here, and then go out and share that good news with others. So go ahead and post this video to your page, start conversations, and who knows the lives that God could transform through it. If we can support you in some way in this season, please let us know. Maybe you've decided to dedicate your life fully to Jesus. We want to hear about it and celebrate with you and help you in those first steps. Connecting in to share the joys and the struggles of life is why we're here. Finding community is super important too, so if you're wondering about any of our programs for kids, youth, or adults, just reach out to us by phone or at the link below and we'll be in touch. To all of those who are partnering financially with us, thank you for your investment into the kingdom of God. It allows us to do what he's calling us to and reach even more people. For more info on that, go over to harvestconnect.ca/give. If you haven't already, be sure to check out our live stream chat area at harvestconnect.ca/live. It's a great place for interaction, commenting, prayer with our online hosts, and more. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our social pages and all that good stuff too. Take care. Keep living your call, and we'll see you again real soon.